Temple Grandin is, at first glance, an unlikely candidate to transform the U.S. food industry. She's in her early 50s, sometimes shy, and she is autistic. But Grandin is also a key member of a campaign to pressure slaughterhouses to kill animals more humanely. Grandin's work has met with extraordinary and measurable success. That's due in part to her passion about her job and in part to the backing of a corporate giant, McDonald's.
McDonald's is leading the food industry in recognizing animal welfare as a major issue. The record suggests McDonald's is reacting partly to political pressures, and research shows that well-treated animals produce better meat. Whatever the motives, executives say McDonald's wouldn't have changed without the woman some call Queen of the Slaughterhouse. Daniel Zwerdling reports for NPR News and American Radio Works.
Temple Grandin is convinced that she knows how animals feel during their final moments in the slaughterhouse, and she's harnessing that power to ease the moment when millions of animals die. In some ways, you can glimpse her connection with animals if you join her at the end of the day, after she's finished another inspection for McDonald's. Grandin goes home to her condo in Fort Collins, Colorado, and she's so speedy, she's so wired from working and traveling and watching all the slaughter, that she walks to her cramped bedroom and she goes to her machine.
Well, this is the squeezing machine. Now, I've got to turn the compressor on to make it work. It's going to make a great big racket. After I use the squeeze machine, I'll have nicer dreams. You know, get that sort of nice feeling of being held.
Temple Grandin is autistic. Some therapy clinics use this machine, which she invented, when they treat autistic children. The machine stands about waist high, right next to her single bed. There are two slabs of wood, like padded tabletops, propped in the shape of a long V. Grandin lies face down the entire length of the V, so the slabs cradle her body. And then she works a hydraulic lever that forces the slabs to squeeze her.
And I can control the pressure.
Now that she's an adult, Grandin is what researchers call a high-functioning autistic. She's a high-functioning person, period. She's written two memoirs and appeared on national TV, and she travels around the world giving speeches. But she's struggled her whole life to achieve that. Grandin says she used to attack people in rages. She almost blinded a student who made fun of her. She bit a teacher's leg and made it bleed. Grandin said she'd freak when people touched her.
I would just jump. It would be like touching a wild animal. You touch a wild animal, it makes that wild animal jump. People would touch me and I would just pull away. You know, the way my nervous system reacts when I panic is just like the nervous system of a cattle or a horse when they panic.
But then animals showed her the way to soothe her demons. Grandin says when she was a teenager, she was visiting a relative's cattle ranch in Colorado. And when she walked down to the corral one day, the cowboys were herding the animals into something called a squeeze chute. It had movable wooden walls that would clamp around the cow so the cowboys could give it a vaccination. And Grandin says as she watched the strange machinery envelop the animals, she was transfixed. She suddenly realized, ah, she'd been craving intense pressure like that her whole life.
And I thought, well, I got to try out this cattle squeeze chute. Because when I got into puberty, started having terrible problems with constant anxiety, and I was just desperate to get relief. And I noticed that some of the cattle would just sort of relax. So I talked my aunt into putting me into the cattle squeeze chute. And for about 45 minutes afterwards, I was a whole lot calmer.
And when Grandin got older, she built this squeeze chute for herself. So Grandin feels grateful to cattle. They showed her the way to relax when she's feeling most afraid. And now she's devoting her life to helping relax the cattle just before they lose their lives.
Yeah, and it's starting to, you know, work. You know, I'm starting to really relax now.
It's 9 a.m. on a chilly morning. Grandin has just arrived at the XL Slaughterhouse on the plains of Colorado, right next to the tracks that carry the state's grain and coal. XL is one of McDonald's biggest suppliers, and Grandin has come to inspect whether they're killing animals humanely. The staff is already waiting.
What's happening?
How are you?
Yeah.
Grandin's wearing her usual outfit. She looks like a ranch hand from a 1940s Western. Blue jeans and boots and a cowgirl shirt, which she always buttons at the neck. And she wears a Western kerchief like a tie. She says she doesn't have patience for makeup or small talk.
You want to go around this one?
Grandin strides toward the edge of the plant where she wants to begin the inspection, and the manager of the plant trails behind. His name is Mike Chabot. He says when he first met Temple Grandin, he thought she was strange.
She is strange. She's an autistic savant, too. She was a consultant for Dustin Hoffman in The Rain Man. So, I mean, people around the world know that that's the way she is.
Grandin still seems to live in her own world, even when she's talking with you. She looks everywhere but in your eyes. Chabot says he met Grandin in the 1980s, before she ever inspected this plant for McDonald's. He was running another slaughterhouse, and Grandin was designing squeeze chutes for handling cattle.
She came to me and said that she'd worked on a different system, a different restrainer system, and that she truly thought it would work. Would we be willing to take the risk?
Did you and your colleagues, did some of them say, why are we bringing in this woman to our business?
I don't know. She was one of those people that when you sat down and talked to her, that she was so totally committed to doing what she wanted to do that I felt you had to try it. It was just driven on somebody saying, I know this would be better. I know we can make it work. And Temple and I struck up a relationship that will last the rest of my life, I'm sure.
And now Grandin's ready to begin her inspection. By the end of the morning, she'll know if this plant is mistreating animals or if the cattle are going to a calm and painless death.
Well, let's just start looking at truck unloading. They're just unloading a bunch of cattle right now.
From the outside, the slaughterhouse almost looks like a car factory. Semis keep pulling up to an unloading dock. There are windowless buildings and smokestacks. But there's also a greasy, cloying smell in the air, plus a labyrinth of fences and pens stretched from the unloading dock about 100 yards to the plant. Grandin walks to the rear of the semi as it backs up to the edge of the pen. The driver hops out of the cab and opens the double doors and steers four down the ramp like black boulders. Grandin looks down at her clipboard at the first item on her inspection list. She needs to stand here for a few minutes and count the cattle that go, or as Grandin's checklist describes it, what percentage of cattle are vocalizing? Temple Grandin invented this system for inspecting a slaughterhouse. Nobody had ever done anything like it before.
It's got to be simple. You cannot have an audit with 50 different things to measure, where it would take the McDonald's auditor a week to do the audit. That just would be impossible.
So she studied thousands of animals in slaughterhouses, and she looked for five crucial clues that reveal if they're calm or stressed. Grandin says the more she listened to cattle, the more she realized that their moos tell you how they feel.
I just started checking off, did the animal moo, yes or no? And then was that moo associated with an obviously bad event? And I found that like 98% of the cattle that mooed had a real good reason for doing it. And I go, boy, that's going to really work. Vocalization scoring separates a plant that's got big problems from a plant that doesn't.
Grandin says this plant used to have problems. The drivers would shout at the cattle to shoo them off the trucks. The cattle would get scared and balk. So the drivers would shout louder, and the cattle would bellow so much they'd practically drown you out.
One of the things that's been really important on improving handling is to get rid of all the yelling and screaming and whistling, because cattle have got very sensitive ears. So one of the things I've worked on is getting people to keep their mouths shut when they're moving cattle.
But decades of Western movies, you know, that's what cowboys do. They yell, they whistle.
Well, we need to get rid of that yelling, because it just gets the cattle all excited. In fact, in Canada, researchers have done two studies that show that yelling and screaming at cattle is really stressful. Yelling and screaming will raise the heart rate more than just the sound of metal banging and clanging.
Grandin says the slaughterhouse has changed its ways. According to her inspection system, if only 3% of the cattle vocalize, it shows that most of them are calm. The sound of silence, except for the hooves. Temple Grandin is the most unusual crusader in a long line of Americans who've tried to make slaughterhouses more humane. Congress passed a law that forbids cruel practices back in the 1950s, but Grandin's own studies show that a lot of slaughterhouses ignore that. She surveyed major meat plants for the U.S. Agriculture Department only around 6 years ago, and she reported that most of them did a brutal job of killing. Grandin says she also discovered that a lot of industry executives don't care. unless she can prod them to leave their offices and see the problems.
I can remember the day when one of the managers saw chickens. And we had gone to chicken plant, and I found a live chicken in the garbage can. And the people that were with me were really horrified. But I remember another incident. I was out with some managers, and we visited a hog farm, and there was a half-dead pig laying in the alley. And he'd been there for a good long time. And the manager of the farm just walked our tour group right over the half-dead pig. You know, it's like they become totally desensitized and they don't even see it. Bad had become normal.
Which brings us to McDonald's. More than a decade ago, activists from animal rights groups went to the company's executives. And they said, look, obviously the government's not doing its job regulating slaughterhouses, but you're the most powerful food company in the world. You could force slaughterhouses to change. One of the McDonald's executives who dealt with the activists is a man named Bob Langert. He's flown out from company headquarters on this day to watch the inspection. And Langert acknowledges that he and his colleagues resisted the activists at first. But eventually an activist convinced them to call Temple Grandin, and Langert says she changed everything.
The thing I love about Temple, she cannot be dishonest. It's impossible for Temple to be dishonest. She could care less about statements and rhetoric, and everything about her is in terms of getting results.
He says until Grandin came along, all he kept hearing was rhetoric. The activists kept telling him, slaughterhouses are cruel, they should be more humane. But Langert says McDonald's needed more than that. They needed to learn how to measure brutality so they could figure out how to fix it. Remember, McDonald's built its empire on measurements. They know if employees do a good job or not based on how many seconds they take to make a Big Mac. And Langert says Temple Grandin's inspection system brings that same kind of science to the slaughterhouse.
Okay, now we're just walking up now to a pen of cattle.
By now, the latest batch of cattle has come off the truck.
And you'll notice the animals are watching us.
And Grandin tackles the next item on her inspection list. How often do workers shock the cattle with electric prods?
Oh, I can remember watching a guy take an electric prod and shove it down a cow's throat. That was absolutely horrible.
Grandin says most slaughterhouses rely on electric prods to make the animals walk through the pens until they actually get to the plant. Her scorecard flunks a plant if more than a quarter of the cattle get shocked.
One of the things that's been difficult to get a lot of people to understand is that you can use behavior to move your animal rather than force. If cattle or pigs are backing up in the chute all the time and backing up and backing up, get rid of the things that scare them. Don't get out more electric prods.
Temple Grandin says when animals get scared, she relates to them. That's how she experienced the world growing up, autistic. A blackboard pointer made her panic, but she couldn't say what bothered her. She didn't speak a word until she was 3.
Well, I can remember the frustration of not being able to talk. And I was at school, the speech therapist had, and when it was time for another child's turn, she'd point the blackboard pointer at me. And I remember what the pointer looked like. It was one of those wooden pointers that's about, 2.5 feet long with a rubber tip on it, sort of looks like a bullet on the end. And then I would scream. The school bell going off, that hurt my ears. It was like a dentist drill going down my ears. I sometimes scream, fling myself on the floor. It's like I still have the old anti-predator circuits that all of the animals have. It's like some of that old animal nervous system is more prevalent in me than it is in most other people.
But as Grandin got older, she slowly climbed out of her hell. She went to college and got good grades. She worked at a farming magazine and a stockyards. She got a PhD in animal science and started writing landmark studies on animal behavior. And Grandin began designing machinery for slaughterhouses across the country. Then around 10 years ago, Grandin says she had a revelation, and it crystallized her calling. A slaughterhouse in Alabama called her and said they urgently needed help, so she flew down to their plant.
Oh, this plant was an absolute nightmare. They would run the cattle up a single-file chute and run them into a box that had a floor on about a 45-degree angle, and the poor cattle would just fall down. They'd then loop a chain around the back foot, drag the beast out across the floor, hang him up. He'd be going, bellowing, ooh, ooh, ooh. I said, this is the most gruesome, the most absolutely awful thing that I've saw. I started to get mad, but I've learned that, you know, I can't just, you know, have a tantrum. But when I get mad, I get spurred into action.
Grandin ripped out the machinery, and she built a new kind of squeeze chute to hold the animals gently. In fact, she modeled the controls on the one she built for her own squeeze machine back in her bedroom in Colorado. The day she tried out her new system, Grandin herself took the controls. And when the cattle stepped forward and they slit the animals' throats, she realized that everything she'd been working toward her whole life really did make a difference. Grandin made a difference in those animals' lives at the final moment when it counts.
I did not look at the controls. It was sort of like the box became an extension of my hands. It's almost like I could reach through the machine and hold the animal. And the thing that amazed me is you could take the two parts of the head restrainer, and like if the animal's head wasn't in the right position, I could just sort of like reach out there and through the machine and move his head around, and he just let me do it. You could keep the animal completely calm. And it was extremely hot in Alabama. And I had no feeling of the heat. I'd get so relaxed doing this. It was like calmness, almost like what people would get when they do a meditation.
We need to be careful through this area because we are moving cattle through here.
Back at the XL slaughterhouse, Grandin has almost finished her inspection. She says this plant's improved tremendously since the first time she checked it. The plant manager, Mike Chabot, says Grandin has changed, too.
She's really grown, I got to say that. When I first started working with her in 1988, she would not let a male that she didn't know very, very well within about 3 feet of her. Human beings scared Temple then. You look at what she does now, she travels the world, she talks to groups of, you know, hundreds and thousands of people, and she's opened up her life so much.
Now, Grandin heads up a ramp to check the most important place in the slaughterhouse. She's going to the killing platform. And the executive from McDonald's says they will not allow me to record it. He says if listeners hear cattle dying, they might get upset at McDonald's. He says I can stand with Grandin on the killing platform and just watch if I like. And it turns out that he doesn't need to worry. On this day, the cattle die without making a sound. Grandin designed the system herself. The cows walk into the plant single file, up a curved ramp. She says curves comfort cattle. It makes them think they're going back home. And then, as they're moseying along, the animals ease onto a conveyor, and they don't even seem to notice. A moving harness cradles their stomachs and ribs and lifts them gently off the floor. Suddenly, a man presses a machine between the next cow's eyes. There's a pop. A retractable bolt shoots into the steer's brain, and the animal slumps silently. Grandin says when she started these audits a few years ago, the workers who shoot the bolts were missing a lot. In fact, federal inspectors cited the slaughterhouse for skinning animals that were still alive, although XL executives disputed the charges. On this day, the slaughterhouse gets a perfect score. As Temple Grandin drives home from the plant, we're heading straight for the Rocky Mountains. The sun is melting on the peaks, and they're turning from gold to red to pink.
You know, when an animal dies in a well-run slaughter plant, that's much more peaceful than out in nature. I mean, people forget that it's a, you know, harsh world out there. You can have animals die in a snowstorm, and maybe there's a drought, and they starve or getting eaten up by predators. And if I was an animal, I'd rather go to a slaughter plant than have my guts dined on while I was still alive.
And Grandin says most of the slaughterhouses she's been inspecting treat animals much better today than they did when McDonald's started the program. She says industry executives are finally realizing that killing animals humanely can be good for business. Literally. McDonald's dumped at least one supplier that flunked Grandin's inspection. The company has warned others they better improve. And studies show that if animals are calm when they're slaughtered, they produce fewer hormones, so they produce better quality meat. Now other fast food chains are hiring Grandin to inspect their slaughterhouses, too. Grandin says she's not a religious person exactly, but she's come to feel that killing animals is a sacred act. She says they're not factory parts, they're living beings.
And another reason for making sure that we don't do atrocious things at the slaughter plant, if it gets too easy to do something really atrocious to an animal, and the poor animal's screaming and everything. A person that could do that would probably wouldn't have any problems with torturing people. You know, I can remember back to St. Thomas Aquinas, I think it was, that said that one of the reasons we got to treat animals right is so that people themselves don't get corrupted.
When Grandin designed the ramp that takes the cattle to their deaths, she gave it a nickname. Now people all over the industry use it.
The Stairway to Heaven.
She got the name from one of her favorite songs by the rock group Led Zeppelin. She keeps it in a bin between the seats.
You're going to have to dig in there and find it. I can't get it out while we're driving. The lady, all that glitters is gold, and she's buying the stairway to heaven. She's buying the stairway to heaven.
Temple Grandin, driving home from the XL Slaughterhouse on the plains of Colorado. I'm Daniel Zwerdling for NPR News and American Radio Works.
And she's buying the stairway to heaven. The end of it.
American Radio Works is the joint documentary project of Minnesota Public Radio and NPR News. You'll find more about Temple Grandin on our website, npr.org.